Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Chapter number 14, Exodus chapter 14, and if you found your place there in Exodus, or once you find your place, and if you're willing and able, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 14, and then we're going to be in verse 13, Exodus chapter 14, and then in verse number 13 is where we're going to be this evening. And let me thank you for being back with us on this Vision Sunday night. And this is going to be an enjoyable night. I hope more than just enjoyable, although I hope it is enjoyable for you. More than enjoyable, I hope it is instructional and informational. And I hope that together as a congregation, we can come together on what we are believing and anticipating God to do in and through our midst. And that's really what Vision Sunday is kind of all about. It's about, man, what's the direction that the Lord would have us to go in 2018 as a congregation, but not just there. I don't want it to stay limited there. If all we do tonight is go, wow, the church is doing a whole bunch of stuff, and that's really neat to be a part of, then we've missed the point. It should also motivate and challenge us individually to say, how can I be a part of that? And so what our goal is this evening is to pick up right where we left off this morning and pick up in the passage here in Exodus chapter 14, the crossing of the Red Sea. And then from there to delve into each different area of ministry tonight. And you're going to hear from a variety of our pastors this evening. And hopefully you'll walk away going, man, you know what? There is a whole lot of stuff that we have going on here at First Baptist. And then you'll go, I want to be a part of this area or that area. And so that would be our intention this evening. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 13. Let's start there. Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they, and read these last two words with me, go forward. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this new opportunity at this new year. Father, a good theme, a great theme that you've set before us this year of going forward, moving forward. Father, always forward, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so much that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, go forward. And that's the call to us. Father, to one step after the other, move forward. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, reaching forward unto those things which are before and press toward the mark, forward toward the mark. That mark is the mark of your Son. I pray that we would have every desire to move forward in every area of our life. Father, but most importantly, to move forward spiritually, to move forward in our spiritual life, more like you, Father, more in your image, more joy, more love, more peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. Father, more as we move forward. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The principle in the Christian life is simply this, that your Christian experience should always be one of progress. And it's certainly true that there are seasons where we must wait. It is certainly true that there are seasons where we must endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. It is certainly true that there are seasons where all we can simply do is hunker down and hold the fort, occupy till he comes. It's certainly true that there are seasons like that in our Christian experience, but the overwhelming call from the scriptures of what our full Christian experience should be, it should be one of steady progress. One where we are always moving forward, taking one step forward, even if it were a small step, a tiny step, taking step after step in a forward direction, never backwards, always forward, always forward. And that's the passage in front of us this evening, a passage we went through chapter 13 and chapter 14 this morning, and we won't expend our energy or our time again there. Man, but how the children of Israel were called to move forward. This is a study that will begin on Sunday evenings, and I look forward to walking through the book of Exodus in our Bible study on Sunday night. Let me encourage you, plan to be with us on Sunday evenings as we walk through the story of Exodus. Exodus is a beautiful telling of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us by way of salvation, how he set us free from the bondage of sin, from the slavery of sin and death and hell, and how he set us free. So let me encourage you, plan to be with us this up and coming year as we take 30 or 40 or so of our Sunday evenings and we walk through our story in the book of Exodus together. It's going to be a great study, one that I believe will be very informative and instructive for you. But the story is simply this. It's one of being called to go forward, of being called out, of being brought out in order to be all that God asks and all that God wants us to be. A theme that is seen all throughout the Bible. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Paul says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth, I reach forward unto those things which are before, and I press toward the mark." And what's he talking about? He's talking about go forward. Moving forward in all that we do for God. Moving forward in all that we are called to do individually as believers and Christians. Moving forward in our anticipation and expectation of what God would do in our individual families. But moving forward in what God would do corporately inside of our church. Constantly moving forward. Man, pressing toward the mark, forgetting that which is behind, not being weighed down by the past, but stretching and reaching and pressing and going forward. Man, another beautiful passage about the idea of going forward found in Corinthians chapter 15, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse number 58, one of my favorite verses in all the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Man, always moving. Look, so as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, so that way you do not lose ground. This is what he said. Don't lose ground. Move forward in the Lord. And don't just move forward, but abounding, always moving forward in the Lord. Man, Exodus chapter 14, very critical passage on this idea of moving forward. And here's my the drive home tonight, all right? The drive home is this. It's one simple, very basic truth. God is pleased when we direct our fears toward him, but God has purposed to direct our steps. God is pleased when we direct our fears toward him, but God is purposed. He is decided. He is resolved. He has planned to direct our steps, to guide our fears. feet. Man, hear the children of Israel. They're crying out to God, crying out to God. Here comes Pharaoh. Here comes all these chariots, these horsemen. The chariots, the horsemen, that was the modern day stealth bomber. The chariot and the horsemen from the Egyptians, that's modern day SEAL Team 6. Man, if you saw these guys coming, you knew it was bad news, right? Man, and here they come, and the children of Israel stopped at this physical barrier, this wall of water, cannot go forward. You don't have any place else to go. And we talked about it this morning, and their natural conclusion was one of two things. We're here because there weren't enough graves in Egypt. Their idea is, we are going to die. That's it. We're going to die. This is it. It's over. It's either we're going to die or we surrender and we go back and we serve Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Man, they had two options, slavery or death. Slavery or death. That was the only two choices. And they left God out of the equation. Man, when the children of Israel could only see slavery or death, God showed up and said, go forward. Go forward. Man, how will we go forward? Look at verse number 15. I want to show you this one verse. Then we're going to show you some of the programs and plans we have for the year. And then we'll go give you a chance to buy those fast-selling t-shirts and coffee mugs. Just for clarification, you cannot buy the shirt that Michael is wearing. He has worn it, so now no one wants it, right? Verse number 15. The Lord said unto Moses, listen. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Is that a strange verse? The Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Okay, here's what God says. God says, listen, I really appreciate it that you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you prayed. But there comes a time where you have to stop praying and start following. There comes a time where you stop asking and put your strength and your faith into action. Man, there comes a time where we have to stop pleading and start walking. Man, wherefore? Why are you calling unto me? And here's the natural answer. We're calling to you because you brought us here, right? We're calling to you because a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, man, the cloud we were following, the fire we were going after, it was a light along our night. We were following your GPS, and you led us right here. And now, here comes SEAL Team 6. That's why we're crying to you. I mean, now we're in some hot water. Man, wherefore criest thou unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Here's what I think about this passage. I think this is not so much a rebuke from God to the children of Israel or to Moses. God is pleased when we direct our fears to him. I don't think it's so much of a rebuke as much as it is God knows that the children of Israel were content to stay right where they were, complaining, weeping, grumbling, griping. How many of you know grumbling and griping? Man, that's been a part of God's people for a really long time. Man, all the beautiful things that the media department did, man, these wonderful brochures, these nice signs, and how many of you know people were grumbling and griping this morning, right? Well, go forward. That just seems really vague, you know? Well, you know what? You can go on out. No, I'm just saying, we didn't say that. Man, God isn't rebuking the children of Israel. God's happy. Man, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Man, call unto me and I will. God is pleased when we direct our fears to him. Listen to Spurgeon on this word though. Spurgeon said this, far be it from me to ever say a word of disparagement of the holy, happy, and heavenly exercise of prayer. But beloved, there are times when prayer is not enough. There are times when we have prayed over a matter to a certain degree that it becomes sinful to tarry there any longer. Our plain duty is to carry out our desires into action. Having asked God for guidance, having received divine power from on high, let us go at once and without any longer deliberation or delay, let us move forward, forward, forward. Isn't that a good word? Man, sometimes to sit, to ponder, to complain, to wonder, to pray, is not a sign of great faith. It's a sign of unwarranted fear. Man, when God calls us to move forward, when God calls us to go forward, when God calls to us, we should get up and go. When God calls to us, we should get up and go. And of course, the natural answer here is verse number 15, God says, it's time to go forward. And the natural response is, okay, but there's water in front of us. We're more than content to go forward. We've been going forward this entire time, but now there's water in front of us. Man, just when they thought they had no other options, God decided to act. When is it time to move forward? That's the question. When is it time to move forward? One commentator put it this way. When did God act? At the precise moment when all hope seemed lost. Man, when was it time to move forward? At the precise moment when all hope seemed lost. Look at verse 16. Man, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Man, now how many of you know Discovery Channel, History Channel, National Geographic, they've tried every which way to reason this story out, right? And it wasn't actually dry ground they went across, and it was actually a part of the Red Sea that's only like, you know, 3 inches deep. Hey, I don't care if you went across dry ground, it doesn't matter if it was 3 inches or 33 inches, right? It doesn't matter. They went across on dry ground. They did exactly what God told them to do, and what did God do? God came through for them. But let me tell you how God came through for them. God came through for them in a way, hear me, that they could take no credit. God did for them something they didn't even know could happen. How many of the Israelites do you think saw that water part up on this side and part up on this side? And how many of them went, I'm going to YouTube, how does water part itself and stand straight up? Man, here something happened that was far beyond anything that they could have ever hoped or dreamed. Man, isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul says God intends to do for all of us? Man, the Apostle Paul says God intends to do more for us than we could ever imagine or dream. Man, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Neither hath entered into the heart of man, which is this. God has something better for you than you could have ever dreamed up yourself. God wants to do something better for you than you could have ever manipulated on your own. God has something better for you than you could have even in your wildest imagination or expectation ever dreamed up on your own. Think about that. Man, God moved for them in a way that no one else could ever get the credit. You know what's interesting about the story of the crossing of the Red Sea? It's told in almost every book of the Bible from this point forward. Almost every book of the Bible references the Red Sea as a way of telling what God did for them. And you know why? Here's part of why I think that happens. Because there's no way they could have done this themselves. What was their strategy? Their strategy was one of two things. Die or go be slaves. Like, no one on the planning committee went, you know what? I wonder if we just parted the water both ways here, if we could get right across before the Egyptians caught up to us. No one came up with that idea. Man, and yet God shows up and God flexes his muscles on behalf of the children of Israel. And hear me, friend, God wants to do the same for you. God wants to do the same for our church. God wants to do the same. And I would go even this far to say God is doing the same for us. God is doing the same for us. Man, we had 10 visiting family units this morning in church. We had 2 that came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Man, that's unbelievable. Man, we had 10 visitors show up this morning. Did you bring one of them? And yet, 10 visitors showed up this morning, and man, we could have all brought somebody else, right? Man, God is doing great and mighty things, things better than what you or I could have ever hoped or dreamed. Hey, listen, 2018 is a time to go forward. It's a time to go forward. Man, it's a time to ask God to do for us what we could never have even dreamed up on our own. And we want to be careful with this because we want to make sure, man, that there is good planning, that there is good strategy, that there are good programs in place. And man, we want to be careful with that, but we do not want to strategize out, man, the supernatural. Man, we don't want to be so formulated, so planned, so prepared, man, on such a stringent, tight calendar and strategy that we can't allow God to blow in where God desires to. Man, we want to be careful of that. But man, at the same time, we want that right balance to say, hey, if we're going to go build a tower, if we're going to go build a building, we want to count the cost, lest we get halfway through the building and then we can't finish it. And that's a sign to everybody who passes by, man, that their faith came short. We want to make sure that there's this proper balance in what we're doing. And so that's some of the stuff that you're going to hear tonight. Man, this proper balance to say we want to put ourselves in a position that we aren't going graves or slaves. That's it. Graves or slaves. Those are our only 2 options. Man, we want to say God is quite capable of doing the supernatural. And we want to be as prepared as we can be. We want to be as expectant as we can be. We want to be ready so that when God decides to part water in our life, we are all ready to go forward. Man, we're all ready to take that next step and follow God in faith. Man, a beautiful story. Not one Israelite was lost. Man, the sad part of the story, not one Egyptian was spared. Not one Israelite was lost in the water. Man, the sad part of the story, not one Egyptian was spared. Not one member of SEAL Team 6 made it out. Not one member of Pharaoh's army came out on the other side. Hey, listen, church, time to move forward. A couple ways we're going to do that, and I think we have this. If you have one of these things, they were handed out with your bulletin. It's the go forward, and this is in particular in regards to our Greater Things offering that we will take up on March the 18th. All right. So if you have one of these, you can follow along with us inside of this. We'll also have them up on the screen for you. Here's what I would encourage you to do. If you did not get one of our Greater Thing offering brochures, I would encourage you to make sure you stop by the information table on your way out and make sure that you do get one, because this is what all of the energy and effort of our Greater Things offering for 2018 is going to plan to go before. And right inside, man, there's a beautiful picture of this really handsome guy right there, right on the inside. Man, and I wrote you your own personal note right there. So everyone said, Pastor never wrote me a note. I just did. It's in the bulletin, all right? You can get it for yourself. Man, four things we want to see the Lord do in and throughout our ministries with Greater Things. And man, let me start you off on the last page. The last page, you say, what's our goal? What's our expectation? Man, our expectation is that in 2018, God will help us raise $141,000. You should have amened on that point, okay? You left me on a rope there, and that's all right. But you should have amen on that point. Say, how are we going to do that? Don't worry. God already told me how we're going to do that. I'm looking at the answer right now. God already told me how we're going to get it. You're going to give it. That's how it's going to happen, right? So projected, we're asking that the Lord will give us $141,000 in order to help us accomplish all four of these things. And let me say this, to any degree that we go above and beyond on the $141,000, man, we'll put to work where we're going to start. Man, that's our master plan. So that's at the very first project that we have listed for you there. We have our master plan. And this is basically to help give us an understanding. How many of you know when you go to the doctor, man, the first thing the doctor does, he wants to give you a checkup, right? Man, he wants to know, how's the plumbing? How are all the veins? How's it all working? How's that old ticker? How is it ticking? Man, they give you a checkup. We took Gabriel this afternoon to the urgent care. Gabriel has strep throat, so you pray for him. And he's got this sinus infection, man. But you pray for him. The first thing they wanted to do, they wanted to know how tall he was, how much he weighed, right? They wanted to get, man, what's his history? What's his medical history? We're, man, diagnosing, treating. They want to have this checkup. Why? So they know what they're working with. So they know what they can do moving forward. And that's really what this master plan is for us. And man, we want to know what kind of bones, what kind of structure do we have? How many of you have ever been in a service when the lights started doing the disco fever in the service? How many of you have been here when the lights went disco fever on us? Right? Okay, I know more than you than that. I don't know why only like five of you raised your hand, right? Miss Jean, kick that box and make it do disco fever. So right now, everybody, all right, no. Man, so this is going to help us know. We want to know what's happening in the wire. What's happening in the shortage? Where is this coming from, right? And we just want to know. And a lot of it we already do know. Man, we need to improve some plumbing in this area. We need to improve some electricity and some wires and different things in other areas of the building. Some of it we already know, but some of it we don't know. And what this will also help us do is they'll come in, they'll do a full test on all of our equipment, right? Our air conditioning units, our plumbing system. They'll do a test on our heaters, and they'll give us kind of a projected life expectancy from all these different things. How many of you know there are some really big air conditioners that sit up here on top of this building? How many of you know that, right? And how many of you know when those things go out, they are not cheap, right? Like, that's not like, hey, let's run down to Walmart and, you know, drop $159 and get a new air conditioner and stick it in that window right there. Like, that's not really going to cut it in the middle of the summer. So what we want to know is man, how much longer do we have? And this is just kind of some routine, just basic routine, life expectancy, life use. How much of this when do we need to plan this? And what this will help us do is this will help us moving forward. Right? So when 2019, 2020, when these years come, man, so we can go, listen, here's the plan. Here's the idea. It looks like we're going to need to upgrade this unit. It looks like we're going to need to change the wiring here. Man, on top of that, we have a lot of ideas and plans of how we want to use different parts of the building. Man, I would love to renovate a part of our building, convert it into a children's auditorium. That's one of my really big dreams for 2020, probably. I'd love to renovate this platform. How many of you love these banners? Don't these banners look spectacular? And these banners are really just hiding a whole lot of ugly wall right there behind this, right? And we want to change a lot of this, right? We want to work through this stuff, say, how can we make this, you know, more aesthetically pleasing? I'm like, it's like flying a starship in your enterprise. I got these big wings over here. I'm not quite for sure what those things are, but we're flying a space. We want to renovate this, make it more aesthetically pleasing, some of those things. But in order to do that, right, in order to get to that place, we need to know, man, what's even possible for us to do? What's under this? What's behind that? And don't come up to me after the church service and go, I already know what's under. Okay, I get it. The master plan is going to help us kind of lay all that out. We're working with a couple different organizations already in order to get us these sort of plans, this sort of project in place. So I'm really excited about that. Honestly, of everything on the list, this is probably what I'm most excited about. And I told our deacons this. I said, this is what I'm most excited about. Everybody else will be like, yeah, well, that's a boy. Why do we need a master plan? Like, that's weird. Man, but this will help us develop 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Here's what we want to accomplish. This is the question I posed to the deacons, and I'll pose it to you. What does our church look like in 20 years? What does our church look like in 20 years? I mean, somebody's got to take care of air conditioners. Somebody's got to make sure the paint gets changed. Somebody's got to make sure the walls. Somebody's got to make sure the ceiling tiles are adjusted. Somebody's got to make, what does our church look like in 20 years? And this is what this plan does for us. Can I tell you who's thinking about that? This guy right here, right? Can I tell you who's thinking about this? This are our staff men who you'll hear from in just a moment. Can I tell you who's thinking about that? Our deacons are thinking about that, right? And they're going, man, we got to make sure that we do everything that's correct. We put everything in place, man, so that 20 years from now, First Baptist Church can continue on. How many of you know, man, Brother Miller, a really long time ago, somebody made a plan. Somebody developed a master plan, and they built this beautiful building, 1950s or whenever it was, right? And I think you were part of that lumber crew, weren't you? No, that's not right. But man, somebody put this together. Somebody made a plan. Somebody strategized, and here we sit and we enjoy it. Okay, well, I got one amen. There should have been some more amens out of that, but maybe we sit and endure it. I'm not for sure that we enjoy it, right? But we want to say, hey, we want to make sure, hey, this is our turn. Man, it's our turn to make an investment. It's our turn to get behind something. It's our turn to say, let's make sure that, man, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, man, most of us will be gone. Of us will be out of here. Some of us will just be really old, and we'll be the ones that complain about all these new kids doing all these new things. You know, that when I was a part of it, we didn't let them do anything like that. You know, we'll be the ones that get to complain. But man, they'll be grateful. They'll be appreciative, man, that somebody thought about it. Somebody thought, this is our turn, the master plan. This will help give us the right jump start to say, what do we want to do moving forward? What this will also help us do, just honestly, what this will also help us do is this will help us when we do different projects throughout the campus. Right, so sometimes what we do is we end up renovating a room or changing this or changing that, and there's not a start to finish plan. And so, man, somebody walks into a room and they go, wow, this is my Sunday school room. I'd like to paint it pink. Well, okay, it's your Sunday school room, but you don't know that next month we're taking that Sunday school room away from you and we're putting you in another one. And the person behind you is teaching seventh grade boys and they don't want a pink room. How many of you know we don't want the seventh grade boys in a pink room, right? And so what the master plan helps us do is the master plan helps us say, listen, start to finish, we don't want to waste energy. We don't want to waste effort. We don't want to waste our maintenance and building and custodial dollars. We want to make sure that we're using them efficiently. We don't want to go into a room, renovate this room, and then a year later, come back and then just, you know, completely tear that room out. That's a waste of energy. That's a waste of effort. That's a waste of God's money, of God's people, of God's resources. So we don't want to do that. We want to say, listen, there is an effective strategy that gets us from point A to point B so that 20 years from now, man, we've all contributed to exactly what we all know, what we all believe. Man, this will help us provide blueprints. What I want to do with the blueprints, I told our deacons this, what I want to do with the blueprints, I want to blow them up and I want to put them all the way down the office hallway. I'm going to put them all the way down the office hallway. And here's why. Because when you come down the church office hallway, I want you to know there is a church with a vision. Because where no vision is, the people perish. And where no vision is, the people perish. All right, so we're strategizing, we're planning, we're working, we're thinking about these things. We're making sure air conditioners are all good. We're making sure rooms are clean and clear. We're making sure things are being used efficiently and effectively. We're making sure things are aesthetically appealing. We're making sure that when somebody comes to the church, the roof isn't leaking right where they're sitting. And how many of you know that visitor is never coming back if he's getting dripped on from the balcony, right? That's not going to be a good thing. So we want to make sure all these things are taken care of, and this master plan will help us accomplish that, okay? Okay. Man, the second page there, number two, the parking lot update. The parking lot update. This, we've actually already started. How many of you realized our awnings were missing? Three people were aware that the awnings were gone. Okay, well, the awnings are missing. I just want you to know, no one stole them, right? No one snuck in the middle of the night. But we actually, before it gets to the rainy season, we wanted to make sure that we got those awnings repaired and fixed. Man, those awnings had big tears in them. How many of you saw those? We even, for one service, I said, man, those awnings are, man, they're atrocious. We got to do something. It was hanging down. So our custodial staff, God bless them, they snuck in there, they took duct tape, and they duct taped it up. Man, I just, what a great job. I mean, wonder, duct tape and its many useful purposes. I believe it was a Baptist who came up with duct tape. I'm next to certain that it was someone who was a Baptist who came up with duct tape. Don't Google search me or Wikipedia me on that. I was a joke, okay? So, but our parking lot update, a couple things we want to do. We want to install the new awnings. Those are already going up right now. We want to install new LED lighting. And say, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do in our parking lot. I want our parking lot to be the brightest lot in all of Long Beach. When you walk in a parking lot, I want you to get sunburned. That's actually why we gave you those glasses, because you're going to need them when we get done with that parking lot. Like, oh, we're going outside. What's 9 o'clock? I know, we're going to the parking lot. Put the glasses on, you know? We want to make that parking lot glow for a lot of reasons. Man, number one, for safety and security. Right, number one, for safety and security. We want to make sure, man, we're going to cars, and we have a lot of elderly people moving toward cars late at night, and we want to make sure that it's safe, it's secure. We want to make sure it's well lit. How many of you men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil? Right? I'm not for sure that that was a verse about a church parking lot, but we're going to pull it, and we're going to use it out of context in that way, all right? And so we want to make the parking lot grow. We've already met with several different folks about how to do that and how to accomplish that in a very effective way. And so that's one thing. It's not just for safety and security, man. I also want to make that parking lot glow because I want all of Long Beach to know, man, stuff is happening here. Man, you drive by a place and the lights are on. You're like, man, what's happening over there? We want to know what's going on over there. Also, lights attract bugs, so I'm not for sure. If we keep working that analogy, it actually works not in our favor, so we want to be careful how far we go that. And the next one is we want to restripe our parking lot, right? We want to restripe our parking lot. We want to make sure that we're getting the best use. And maybe we are getting the best use out of all of our lot and able to park enough cars. But how many of you noticed our parking lot is pretty full on Sunday morning, right? A few months ago, we had a visitor that came back in. They said, I need to get out. And somebody parked behind me. And they had somebody literally pulled up in the fire lane. They pulled their car up there, and they just left it parked there. I said, okay, well, we're going to get you out, and we're so sorry. And here, you know, get a free Starbucks on us. You know, and praise the Lord, they were kind about it. But we want to make sure that we have enough space in the lot. Let me encourage you, especially those part of our core members, let me encourage you, if you can park in the auxiliary lot, which is the lot directly across the street, directly across the street, man, you can park there on Sunday mornings, and let me encourage you to do that. We actually split that lot with another, Pentecostal church up the street, but we want to encourage you to park there. So if you could do that for us, that would be a huge blessing, and that would free up some spots. Also, let me encourage you, if you can carpool to church and you don't have to bring two or three cars, you can do that as well. That'll help us create some space and open up some spots. But we want to restripe our lot. We want to reseal our lot. Somebody pulls into our lot, man, into our parking lot, this is the first impression they have of our church. And the first thing they think about our church is this lot that they're pulling into. And for you and for me, it's okay, it's fine. We don't really care. But for a visitor, man, we want to make the right statement at the very start when they pull in. And we want to make sure we're saying the right thing about our ministry. Hey, this is the Lord's work, and He deserves the best. Man, this is the Lord's parking lot, and it deserves to look the best because it belongs to the Lord. Right? This is not yours, it's not mine. But it's the Lord's, and we want to make sure it's all done the best way we can. So we want to restripe, we resurface the lot. So that's we've already started on a couple of those things, and look forward to being able to accomplish that. The next one there, the gymnasium update. And what I'll tell you about the gymnasium update, this is a minor update. I really appreciate Brother Danny Liu, who's already worked on a couple drawings for us, and really appreciate his work in that regard. But this is a minor update. It's not a full renovation of the gymnasium, so don't think like Staples Center, okay? If you're thinking Staples Center, you're going to be disappointed, okay? Hope deferred make it the heart sick. So I don't want you going, oh, yeah, we're going to get the coolest, you know, air-conditioned gymnasium with the box seats and the little waiters that will bring you peanuts. You know, no, that's not happening, okay? But what we do want to do is we want to just go through the gymnasium. We want to bring it up to speed. We want to do some stuff in our restrooms, locker rooms. We want to bring those up. A lot of our guests go into the restrooms and locker rooms. My wife, on her first visit to our gymnasium locker rooms or bathrooms, went into the gym ladies restroom, and the door didn't have a lock on it. She had to sit there and hold the door. She came out and she goes, David, I love you. Can you please fix that lock in the girls' bathroom? I said, yes, ma'am. Sal, go fix that lock in the girls' bathroom right now. And so that's how that worked. It runs downhill. That's how that works, right? And so we want to make sure that everything in the gymnasiums is up to speed, is done the right way. So a couple things that we're going to try to do there: repair the ceiling, renovate the restrooms, repair the bleachers that are broken or damaged. I was standing up there. I think Scott was with me. We're standing on the bleachers, and up walks, Scott and I were just standing there. Up walks, I don't know who, maybe Juan or Michael or Raphael, I can't remember. But up walks one of them next to us, and the whole bleacher just started going, whoa. And I thought, this is it. We're going down. We're down for the count right here. That's some trusted wood. That's what that is. That wood has been tested and tried, you know. Man, we start, whoa. I say, hey, scoot over, buddy. I don't know, get too close. If you're going to break the boards, break it on your half, not on my half, right? So we want to make sure it's all saved. We want to make sure we got some handrails that we put up on the side for some of those who are a little bit more mature in the faith. As they come to the games, they can have a rail that'll get them up to the top. And then we want to put some wall padding along the side so you can see those there. So that's our gym update. Last one is upgrade our transportation fleet. And this, I'm really excited about this. A lot of upcoming activities, some of these activities you're going to hear about in just a little while from these men, but we really want to upgrade our transportation fleet for a couple of reasons. First of all, California is passing a law in our state that says all of your vehicles, and they've already done this on the school side, but now they're incorporating the nonprofits and churches into this as well, but all of your vehicles, all of your buses have to be 5 years or newer. How many of you know our buses are not 5 years or newer, right? Okay. Those buses, it's been a long time since they saw 5 years, right? I mean, they're a little bit old. So we want to upgrade our fleet in order to be able to fall in line that way as well. Some of that we've already started. But what we also want to do is not just upgrade it in order to do that, but we also want to upgrade our fleet in order to have a better way to get people to church, have a better way to shuttle people in and out. A lot of our vehicles, they're older. They don't run. We've had them in the shop, out of the shop, in the shop, out of the shop. So we just want to make sure that we're using all of that efficiently and effectively, and all of that right there is gonna run us the projected total about $141,000, and so that's what we're gonna ask for on March the 18th. And so here's what I want to do with this. This is why we gave this to you in January, right? We gave this to you in January because I want you right now to start planning, praying, asking God, how can I be a part of this? What can I do to be a part of this? Maybe some of you, maybe it's not. You can give a monetary gift, right? Most of us, that's how we'll contribute. We'll give a monetary gift. But maybe for you, your business, your company, your friends, something like that, maybe for you, you'd say, hey, you know what? I can volunteer some time. My company actually does these sorts of things. I would love to be a help in that way. If that's what you can do, you can find me, any of our deacons, any of our pastoral staff, and you can find them at the end of the service or even into the future. Say, hey, I'd love to be a help in this way. Here's what our company does. We'd love to take this on for the church, just, you know, be contributing members in that way. So whatever it might be for you in that regard, let me ask you, take this, but don't lose it. Don't just throw this away, all right? This is not just a paperweight. I want you to take it, man, put it in the cover of your Bible, stick it on your refrigerator, take it to your office, leave it on your, put it on your dresser so you see it every morning and evening. And I want you to begin right now to pray, how would God use you to help us reach this goal? This is a big goal. And how would God use you to help us reach that goal? Something we're doing with the Greater Things this year, which we did not do last year, but we're doing two ways. There's two ways that you can contribute. And the first would be a cash offering that will be taken up on that evening. And the second way will be through a pledge and a commitment that'll come in through the course of the year. So there'll be two ways that you can contribute to that. But let me ask you to start even right now at this very moment of learning and asking God how God might have you to participate in that. What I've done now is I've asked a couple of our guys to give us an update on what they're doing. Man, this is part of the program of what we're trying to accomplish. These are parts of the projects that we're trying to accomplish. But the other thing we're doing is on the program side. Man, programs that we're running, things that we're offering in order to help us reach more people. So Raphael, I'm going to ask you to come first and start us off. And he's going to tell us about what it is exactly taking place in the areas of ministry that he oversees. And I want you to listen and listen with an open heart to say, how might God use you in perhaps one of these areas?
Man, so first let me start by saying I'm so thankful that the Lord brought us to First Baptist and how the Lord has worked through you. And then this last little bit over a year as pastor's been here and just catching his vision and seeing what the Lord has for our church in the next 20 years has just been an awesome opportunity for my wife and I. And we're just so thankful that he gives us the opportunity to serve here alongside pastor and his family. And so the Lord has given me the opportunity to serve really in three different areas: the children's ministry, the young professionals, which we just started a few months ago, and then also our media department. And so we're just so excited about what the Lord's going to do in each and every one of these. Let me just say about our children's ministry. Like Pastor said, the parking lot's the first place, or the first impression for a family. The children's ministry is the first impression for children. And let me just say, from nursery to sixth grade, our children need to see a program that is just awesome. And I'm just so thankful for all of our children's workers. If you serve in children's ministry, it's nursery all the way to sixth grade, if it's Sunday or Wednesday night, would you stand tonight? And let me just thank you personally for your service to our children. Thank you. You may be seated. And let me say, that's the reason we get to enjoy the services as much as we do. And let me just, first of all, say we have a great children's program. We have teachers that are excited about their classes. Brother Jason brings in these awesome object lessons every week. Brother Jeff's class, if you were on the second floor this morning, you heard Brother Jeff's class, and we had to shut our door and put something underneath because we couldn't pay attention, you know. But the truth is that our children come, and they hear the Word of God, and they learn the Word of God, and they grow up understanding the importance of the Word of God. And let me just say, it's an awesome ministry. But some of the things that I feel like the Lord wants us to do this year in our children's ministry will probably take some of us out of our comfort zone. But I believe that the Lord's going to give us a great year in our children's ministry with our nurseries. We're praying the Lord would give us a lot more security. Right now, we have one check-in system for our nurseries. Parents come, they scan their tag, they get their tag, they take their tag to the nursery workers. We want to kind of streamline that just a little bit, but giving just even more security. If that's buying a new computer for the check-in system, then that's one of the things we are going to do. Also, training our nursery workers on how to receive kids, how to receive visitors, how to check in a visitor, how to help others with that. And then for our children's ministry, we have a few things planned this year. The first thing that I'm super excited about is January 20th, we have our CE clinic, okay? And so if you are a children's worker, you should have written that date down there in your planner or in your Bible. January 20th, we are going to have our CE clinic, which is our children's education clinic. That's everybody from nursery all the way to sixth grade, and then bus routes. If you work in any of those ministries, we are going to have a time of training on a Saturday morning from 9:30 to about noon, and we'll get together. We'll learn some policies, some procedures, some things like that. But not only that, we'll learn practical ways about how we can enhance our classes with songs and games and object lessons, and how to get our kids excited. This morning, there was a visitor that came back, and I think a lot of that was because their child last week came and went to a Sunday school class, and a lot of parents will come back if their kid liked the class. If the kid's like, no, I didn't like the class, maybe that will take them to not come back. But I believe that our children's ministry is a great opportunity that we have to reach more people. The CE clinic is on January 20th. But then also we are starting this new on four Sunday afternoons during the year so the parents can have a break, right, from your children. Maybe you go home and actually take a nap, or maybe you go take your wife on a date. But our children, what we're going to do for four Sundays, the first one is February 4th. So if you have a child from first grade all the way down to sixth grade, we're going to have these super, Super Sunday fun activities. And we're going to go to Mulligan's. We're going to do a water fight when the summer comes. We're going to do ice skating with our kids during the afternoon in between services. That way you come, you drop them off in the morning, you go to church, Then you go out to lunch or whatever. Then you come back in the evening service. Your children are with you, tired and ready to go home and go to sleep, okay? And so mark your calendars. Those activities are on the calendar. So take those. We're super excited about those activities for our kids. But then also our kids camp. Last year we had a great opportunity. I think we had 32 kids come for our kids camp last week, Monday through Saturday. We had a sleepover on Friday night, and then Saturday morning, many of our workers were very thankful for that. This year we are going to do our kids camp. And let me just say, we're so excited about it. We hope that many of our children will come. If you have children from 5 years all the way to sixth grade, you're more than welcome. And look for dates and flyers about that coming up soon. But we're very excited about what the Lord's going to do at our kids camp. And let me just say, that's a great opportunity, not just to get rid of your kids for a couple of days, okay? But that's a great opportunity for the kids to learn the Word of God, as we'll have preaching every single day. But also that we'll have some fun activities throughout the summer. Also, there's going to be a plan available where you can sponsor a bus child that might come on our bus that our parent maybe not be able to pay for the kids camp. We're going to have that time where maybe you can sponsor one of those children to come for our kids camp. So we're very excited about what the Lord is going to do in our children's ministry this next year. Then another part of the ministry that the Lord's allowed me to work in is our young professionals ministry, which is our college age and post-college age students and graduates, those who are starting their careers. And let me just say, we've had a great start to it. We've had many new people come, and the Lord's given me the opportunity to follow up on some of them. And just last week, or the man that got saved, Daniel, that got saved on Sunday afternoon, that pastor spoke about last week, falls in that category. He was here this morning, and I said, hey, we have a great connection group just for you, for college age and post-college age, where they can come and learn the Word of God. I remember when pastor first started talking about this ministry, he said this. He said, one of the largest growing demographics in the city of Long Beach is college age single women. And let me just say that we live in a college town. There's a lot of students that come here to study, not just here, but around the area. And what do they do? Many of them come from Christian backgrounds, but a lot of them don't. And so they're looking for something, they're searching for something, and we can give them the answers. We can give them the Word of God. We can teach them. We can train them. We can hope that God will work in their hearts and use them in their mission field, within their college. And so we're praying that the Lord would allow us to grow in our young professionals ministry. We're praying that the Lord would allow us to start a campus on one of the campuses around here, a Bible club or a Christian club, where not just on Sundays, but also throughout the week, we can be on the campus of one of the colleges and teaching the Word of God to some of our students. We also want to start a different Bible study throughout the week, not just on Wednesday nights or Sundays, but maybe like on a Tuesday, either at a Starbucks or at a Coffee Bean, which I don't really like Coffee Bean, but somebody said Coffee Bean, and maybe Starbucks, and then maybe at our house or something like that, just to get them out of their routine and teach them the Word of God and have fellowship, a place where they can come and learn and grow. And some of the things we're going to be doing, some of the activities this year are our Young Pros Retreat. So on February 9th and 10th, our singles, our young adults, will be going to San Diego for a couple of days, Friday night and all day Saturday, and really just learn the Word of God, get to know each other, have some fun, have some activities. That's February 9th and 10th. Every month, we're planning a Young Pro service here on a Sunday night, just like we did a few months ago. We will go to a different room, and we'll have a service there where we can talk to them where they're at and really find out, really get to know them, have a time of fellowship, but also have a time of preaching the Word of God. And then we want to start a Bible study, and also we want to make our Sunday schools or our connection groups a lot better. Brother Jeff and Miss Kathleen, they do a fantastic job with the college age students. And even today, we just started our new curriculum, Real Christianity, that we're going to go through. They're going to go through it in their class, and then I'll go through it in my class. And we're just so excited about what the Lord's doing in our young professionals ministry. And let me just say, there's probably somebody at your work, there's probably somebody in your neighborhood, there's probably somebody in your sphere of influence that falls within that category. Invite them to church. Tell them that we have something for them here. Bring me their information. I'd love to call them and try to get with them and try to get to know them and invite them to church and try to have a place where they can come and not just come, but also get connected. And so we're super excited about the Young Pros ministry, and I hope you'll get behind us in that, and you'll pray for that ministry, and you'll try to help us reach others as well. One of the other areas of ministry is our media ministry. So many of the slides and banners and bulletins and all those different things is some of the stuff that we do here in-house. And so the Lord has allowed us to really has allowed me to learn a lot of things as I go. And so a lot of things aren't perfect. A lot of things maybe aren't where they could be. But we're praying that we go forward in this area this year in communicating through print, through video, through media, what the Lord is doing here at our church. One of the things is we want to get a better handle on our sound ministry, our projection ministry. Miss Jean and Brother Jason, they do a fantastic job with sound and projection. But our goal is to get more of our church members involved, maybe on a rotation basis on our sound, but then also in our projection ministry. And to just have many people, many hands make light work. And so if we can all get involved and we can all do what the Lord has allowed us to do in our church, we really want to get a handle on our sound. Just a few months ago, Brother Peter and I were working on pastor's mic cutting out, those types of things. Somebody probably has more knowledge than us. And so we want to grow in that area of our church. Also, assist pastor in communicating his sermons through video, as if it's through videos or through slides, presentations, if it's through his sermon handout. If it's anything like that, our goal is to assist him in communicating his message better through media. Another way is through print projects. Many of the things that you have today are print projects that the Lord allowed us to take pastor's vision, put it on paper so that you can see it. And so one of the things that we want to do is to get better at our print projects and get better at our design, better at our spell check, better at all those different things, you know, where we can grow in those areas. And so you pray for us about that. One of the things is like this card. Somebody, Miss Aggie, matter of fact, asked me today, she said, "Is this a track?" And I said, "This is not a track. This is actually an invitation card. This is something that you can take, and it's a conversation starter. It's a relationship builder. You can give it to somebody, say, look, would you come to our church? You can scan the QR code." Now, let me ask you this. How many of you knew that you do not need an app to scan the QR code on the back of this? You just open your camera on your phone, you put it there, and it scans it for you. And let me just say, there are many people out there that probably won't type in our website, but they'll take their camera out and they'll put it on that QR code, and it'll take them to their website where they can find more information about our church. And so this is not a track. This is actually an invitation card that you can take and invite friends and family, leave it at a restaurant somewhere like that. But also pray for us, because we have begun designing a new track for 2017. In February, you'll see that coming in different things like that. So we're just super excited about what the Lord's doing in our church. And the thing we're most excited about is going forward for the Lord. Like Pastor said, it's not time to stop, and it's not time to take our time. It's time to go forward. And so I hope that you'll get on board with these things we're doing this year.
I appreciate Raphael's hard work. Michael, why don't you come next and give us how we're moving forward in your areas of ministry.
All right, good evening, everybody. I have the privilege of overseeing our church administration and then also our youth department, but I'm going to let Derek handle the youth department when he gets up here. I just want to highlight a couple of big days that we're going to be doing this year that I'll be providing oversight for, and then also one particular area of ministry that I want to see grow and us to do a little bit better in. But the first big day I want to emphasize is Easter. It's coming up on April 1st, and we're excited about our Easter service this year. We're going to begin meetings this week, actually this Tuesday, to discuss what songs we're going to be singing, different ideas, different themes, and ways we can get our church family involved on Easter. And so one of our goals is to get as many people in membership involved on Easter Sunday. We just don't want you to just sit and always enjoy. We do want you to enjoy services, but we want to get you plugged in and we want to get you involved. And on these big days, these are great ways to get our church family involved. Last year, we used the theme Arise for Easter, and it was a wonderful day. I believe that the Lord's name was exalted. We definitely saw souls saved, and our members were involved and engaged, and it was really exciting. I believe the Lord blessed in a great way, and we want to see Him do that again. And so we're excited about Easter. We're planning to start advertisement for Easter on March the 2nd. We're going to start off with our banner out on the front of our property, and we're going to begin canvassing the first Saturday in March. So we'll canvass for about 4 weeks, the Wednesday night before Easter. We're going to take our Wednesday night, and as many people that are willing and able to go out on that Wednesday, we're going to take and we're going to go out and tell our neighborhood. And then we're going to have one final push the Saturday before, the day before Easter. We'll have a breakfast here on the property, and then we'll go out and tell as many people as we possibly can about the service. We're planning to have at least two services that day, one at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and then we're considering having a 2 p.m. service as well to offer as many possible opportunities to share the gospel that day. And so many people will go to church on Easter and Christmas, and so it's a great time to try and reach our community. People are going to go to Easter service. They're more likely to go and experience a church in that way, and so we're going to try and get as much advertisement out as possible, spread the word as much as possible, and we want to get you involved on that day as well. So mark your calendars for April 1st, but also mark your calendars for the Saturdays in March, because we're going to be spreading the word about our Easter service. The second big day that I want to emphasize is it was a new big day that we started last year called First Responder Sunday. And so we're planning on doing that again this year on September the 9th. We introduced it. It was just a simple Sunday where we wanted to say a special thank you to all of our law enforcement, our firefighters, our EMS personnel for just keeping us safe day in and day out. And so this year we want to get the word out about First Responder Sunday a lot further in advance. We want to get it out sooner, and we want to get it out in a more effective manner. So this year we plan on starting our advertisement for this event in March with our police officer game. We're planning to do a police officer game in March, but we always play the Long Beach Police Department, so you need to come out and support us as we play the police department. But that's when we're going to start promoting it, and then in May, that's when we're going to start visiting each police station and fire station throughout. And so we're going to take gifts to them. We're planning on taking Gatorades and things like that to our fire department and just say, hey, we're thinking about you, hey, we care about you. And when we take those gifts, we're going to go ahead and give them the invitation for September. And so we're going to be visiting each station several times before September, because we want to get as many law enforcement personnel and firefighters here as possible, and then we'll have a final push where we're going to visit all the stations one final time before September 9th. And so starting in May, we'll have those invitations ready. We'll go ahead and give some of those out to you. So if you know of a firefighter or a law enforcement officer, you can invite them personally, because we don't want to just be where we go to the stations and they come because of us. We want our church family to invite them too, because it's not just the staff that's saying thank you to our law enforcement. It's our church. It's First Baptist being grateful for their protection day in and day out. So mark your calendars for Easter, April 1st, First Responders Sunday, September 9th. And this is something that I really have a burden for. We started last November. It's our new restructuring of Sunday school. It's connection groups. And so we launched that, and it's been a great few months. But the goal of connection groups is to connect our members and visitors in a small group setting with other people who are in similar life stages. And so that's our goal of connection groups. And this year, the goal is to get more people connected. All right, that's what we want to do. Everybody in here tonight should be enrolled in a connection group. You should be here every Sunday at 10 a.m. enrolled in a class in a connection group. And so we have regular attenders right now who don't attend, and we want to change that, but we need the help of those who are already plugged in. So if you're in a connection group right now and you know someone who's similar in age or is in a similar life stage, and you invite them to your class. That's the goal, to connect people with people. And so currently we offer a wide variety of adult classes. We'd love to offer even more as time progresses, but right now we're offering 3 different married couple classes, 4 single adult classes, and 7 specialty classes. So we have a lot of different connection groups that you can attend. We have 5 different language ministries that meet for connection groups on a Sunday morning. And so no matter what life stage you're in right now, we have a class for you. And we have a class for your friends. And so invite as many people as you can. Encourage them to attend a connection group. One of the most important times each week is that 10 a.m. connection group. And so I want to encourage you to, if you're not in a class already, to enroll, get plugged in, and then also enlist other people. Like if you meet a visitor, encourage them to come to a 10 a.m. connection group. So I just want to give a couple of thank yous out real quick. I'm very thankful for Brother Derek and all of his help in the youth ministry, but I'm also very thankful for Mike and Kiana Hubbard and helping out with the 7th and 8th grade junior high. They do a fantastic job, and I'm very thankful for all of their help. But a couple of our life class teachers, I'm thankful for Brother Fletcher being willing to take on the new young married class, and he's doing a fantastic job. I wish I was able to be in there for a couple classes, but I have the privilege of teaching our 9th through 12th grade Sunday school, but he's doing a great job. Thankful for Pastor teaching his class and Brother Don DeBruin teaching the Forever One class. And so very thankful for these teachers. And I'm thankful for Brother Raphael, Brother Jeff for teaching our young pros, our young adults. That's a tough age, and they do a fantastic job. I'm really excited about how they're trying to reach the younger generation in that college area, because they have a lot of questions. They're doing a lot of searching, and I'm very thankful for all of their hard work. Thankful for Brother Dwayne Smith. Keep him in your prayers. He had an emergency with his mom this morning and needed to be with her, but he does a great job teaching our faithful men week in and week out, and thankful for him. Brother Gordon, I'm thankful for him teaching our RU. George Johnson has been filling in for our young at heart, and appreciate him and his faithfulness. And then our different language ministries, I'm thankful for Brother Enrico Santos, Brother Juan Hernandez, Brother Manny Medulla, Brother Nisei Him, Pastor Kim, Brother Andrew. All these different teachers teach our different language ministries every week. And then I'm also thankful for Miss Parnella. She is our ladies teacher for our ladies class, and very thankful for her. And so these are our teachers, and they love you, they care about you, and they want you in their class. All right, and so go ahead, get enrolled. If you're saying I want to enroll tonight, find me after the service and we'll get you plugged in to a connection group. And so that's just a quick update of what we're looking forward to 2018 with some special Sundays and then also our connection groups.
I appreciate Michael's willingness. Him and Raphael both actually this year, they took real curveballs from what they had been doing for our ministry here. And I just told both of them, I said, your gifts and your callings are better suited
in different areas of ministry. And one of those areas of ministry for Michael has been administration. He has a real gift and a real knack for administrative work. And we spent time a few weeks ago talking about the budget, and actually that vote for the 2018 budget comes up on Wednesday evening. A lot of that work Michael put in himself. He got with Brother George, Brother Jason, and a few other men. They sat down and they went through the nuts and bolts of that. And that's really where his gift really, really resides, and the overseeing of a lot of these different special days. I'm really thankful for that. And last year, I think it was last year, Easter, we had over 1,000 people in church. It was by and far the largest Sunday that we had of the entire year. And this year, I challenged our guys. I said, not 1,000. I want to have 1,500 folks in church on Easter. And how many of you know that's a good goal for us to have, right? How many of you know for us to get that goal, you have to help us? Three people know that. Okay, so let me just tell you, everybody has to help us reach that goal. And we're going to have a great day in the Lord's house that day, asking the Lord to help us see folks saved. It's going to be a wonderful service. So let me just encourage you with that. Also, I think last year, probably the sweetest service of the year, the service where the fellowship was sweet and the Spirit moved, was probably, in my opinion, was probably our Good Friday service. And there was the first time we've ever done that, and we weren't really for sure what the turnout would be. But we actually, so because of that, we didn't want to meet in here. We met in the North Chapel. And I remember about 5 minutes into that service, our deacons were in the back pulling out chairs, setting them out in the lobby. I mean, we just packed that. How many of you remember that service? We just packed that place out, and it was such a sweet service. It was a wonderful time just commemorating and celebrating what the Lord did for us when he went to the cross and he died in our place, and what that means for each and every one of us. So another great thing that ties along with Easter. So let me encourage you, mark your calendars right now for that day. It's going to be a wonderful time. And then, of course, the connection groups are a wonderful launch, and I'm so glad we were able to get that out in 2017. And I, like Brother Michael, wish I were in Brother Fletcher's class, not for anything other than the snacks, all right? That's they have some of the most epic snacks in that class. I mean, they bring them home, man. So I might just sneak in there, eat a snack, sneak out, all right? So then moving from there, I'm going to ask Brother Tim if he'll make his way up here and give us the updates of what's happening on the school side of what we do. Many of you know this, but we operate a Christian day school here at the on the campus. Every Monday through Friday they meet. They'll be in their place tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Joyfully, they'll be in their place tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I appreciate Tim's effort in leading that event. So Tim, you tell us what we can look for in 2018.
All right, 2018 is a kind of a big transition year for us in the school. We got two major projects that we got going on. In the fall of 2018, we'll be starting Long Beach Christian Preschool. And it's a big endeavor for us. If you're familiar with preschools, it involves a lot of paperwork, a lot of applications, a lot of approval you have to go through to jump through the red tape and different things that we have to get approved for that. So that's one of the major hurdles. We've been planning that for about 3 months now. We've been gearing up for that, and hopefully in the fall we'll be approved for that and getting that ready to go. Please be in prayer. We are in the process of trying to staff that preschool. So if you do know somebody that qualifies to be a director, be a preschool teacher, we are in need of those positions. So if you know of somebody, or if you yourself are qualified for those, please come see me, contact me, please. Those are some big major issues that we're trying to jump through right now. So please be in prayer for that as well. And then another thing that we're getting ready to endeavor into is our accreditation. We're gearing up to accredit our elementary and our high school through the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. That is another big major paperwork mountain that we'll have to dive into as well. So please be in prayer for that as we'll get ready to start that process. That is a 3-year process to candidate and to get approval. So please be in prayer that 3 years doesn't turn into something longer than that. So please be in prayer for us as those are our two major things that we got going on, and just a constant approval, improvement is probably the word I want to use. Constant improvement is what we're striving for excellence. You know, the Christian school is really just a great discipleship tool. That's what it is. And when they started our Christian school back in 1987 here at First Baptist, that's what they started it for. They started it to help families like yourselves, you know, educate their young people in the ways of Christ. And so that's what our purpose and our goal is, to come alongside each and every parent to help them in their process of teaching their children to fear the Lord. And so we use the Christian school to do just that. So you please be in prayer for us as we endeavor in this preschool and endeavor in this accreditation process.
Amen. Thanks. The theme verse that we've kind of adopted for our school, found in Colossians, in Him is the fullness of all wisdom and knowledge. And that's what we believe. We're not trying to spin a worldly education. We're trying to educate kids, boys and girls, young adults, in the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And when you know who Christ is, man, He'll walk you into all the wisdom and knowledge that you need for life. And we are unashamedly Christian school. That's we're unashamedly a Christian school, and we're thankful for that. I really appreciate Tim's effort in that. I called him in over this summer. I said, Tim, I'm going to give you something that you're probably not going to like. He said, okay. And I said, I want you to do two things, and I want you to help us get our school to a place where we can pursue accreditation, and I want you to help us launch a preschool. And he said, you know, both of those things require a lot of paperwork. I said, I know, that's why you're going to do it and not me. And that's how this works. And I really appreciate it. And he just jumped in. He said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And he just jumped in. I really appreciate his support in that capacity. And you pray for him. It's a routine, daily grind every day. It's something, how many of you know, we have a whole lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of parents, and all of them got problems. They all have things. I got a boo-boo on my finger. Good, go home. You know, that's what I would say to them. But our teachers do a great job each and every week and each and every day. I'm thankful for that. Derek, I'm gonna go to Derek next. You come on, Derek. And I really appreciate Derek. He came on this summer as the church intern, and they said, what should we put Derek's title as? I'm like, it just wouldn't be right if it wasn't anything other than intern. It just feels like this is his now stuck title. And but I really appreciate him. He's taken a big effort in leading in our youth and student ministries. I appreciate his willingness to lead in that capacity. He does a great job connecting with our young adults. And him and Jillian put all the group together for the song. I just said, Derek, do this. And he took it, and he ran with it, and he's done a great job with it. So Derek, you tell us what we can look for in our student ministries this year.
Okay, I'll be brief, but three things coming up in the youth department this year that I want to talk about. The first is the teen takeover services. We'll continue doing those. Those of you who remember, every time there's a fifth Sunday in a month, we'll have a teen takeover service where the teenagers they'll sing, they'll do the choir, teenagers will do the announcements, teenagers will preach. And so I want to encourage you to be there, be an encouragement to the teenagers that are there. You know, let them know they're doing a good job. And I think the first one will be in April. We'll have one in July, another one in September. So make sure to be there. Next, we have the youth conference that'll be in April. April 11th through the 13th, it's a Wednesday through a Friday. So those of you with teenagers, mark that on your calendars. Those teenagers, you know, start fundraising, saving up money. And lastly, we have Teen Camp. We're going to go to Ironwood this year. Those of you who remember, last summer we did a volleyball league, and we had concessions, and we did meals every Wednesday night that the teenagers were fundraising for. I want to encourage you, everybody here, to, if you can, you know, support the youth group in that way. You know, if you can't sponsor a kid, then, you know, help buy a hot dog, or, you know, help be at those volleyball games and encourage them and help us get these costs down so we can get as many kids to go to camp this year as possible. I know me and Brother Michael talked earlier, and he said our goal is to have 40 kids come to camp this year. And we were pretty close to that last year. But, you know, I encourage everyone here, you know, to first of all, pray for our teenagers, pray for our youth group, and second of all, you know, help us sponsor these kids to go to these activities. Thank you.
You notice after every one of these guys get up here, this microphone's like this. This next one, I'm not going to have to lower the microphone. All right, Juan, you make your way down here, and I'm going to go ahead. Let's get a step stool for Juan. Let's get it up here real fast. And I appreciate Juan's involvement. He does a great job overseeing several different areas of ministry, our outreach, our bus ministry, and our Spanish ministry. So, Juan, you tell us what we can look for in 2018.
So it's a privilege to be here at First Baptist. And in 2017, we had great victories. We had great days. We had fun days. But like our pastor keeps saying, the best days of First Baptist are ahead of us. Amen. And that's what we're here for. We're here to get ready, to get involved. And one of the things that with Pastor's vision and the opportunity that he has given me, we want to keep sharing the Word of God, keep inviting people to church. And the way we want to do this is through our outreach program. As we go, we teach, we baptize, we get them involved in church. And the way we do this is through our soul winning opportunities here at First Baptist. And the first one that we're going to have this year is our Easter program. And like Brother Michael was saying, we're going to have our time as we go out as a church. We're going to get in the bus. We're going to canvass the city of Long Beach for Christ. And also we're going to have the opportunity to have a breakfast as our church family. As we're going to get here, we're going to have something to eat, we have a time of fellowship, and then we're going to go out and tell people about Christ. Amen. And we're going to be doing that for a couple of every couple of months. We're going to do that. We're going to do the breakfast in Easter. We're going to do the breakfast in for our anniversary Sunday. We're going to do one in the summer. We're going to do one for our friend day. We're going to do one for our Christmas program. We want to encourage everybody to be here, to have a fellowship, and to go out as a church to tell them there's a church that loves them. There's a church that wants to tell them about Jesus. And that's what we're going to do in 2018 with the opportunities to go out as we do in soul winning. Every Saturday, Pastor was telling us this yesterday, bring someone with you. If someone comes to you and said, Pastor said to come to soul winning, it's true. He said that to everybody yesterday. Tell church family that Pastor wants them here on Saturday. And I think God wants them here. Pastor wants everybody here as we go out and tell people about Jesus. So we want to invite you. We want to tell you we have nursery that is provided on Saturdays. Come and join us and tell people about Jesus. Amen. Every Saturday at 9:30. And then throughout the year in different outreach opportunities throughout the year. Also, I have the opportunity to work and to oversee the men's department. And this year, we want to have a men's campout, and that we're already planning about it. We already have the dates, and it will be in July 19th through the 21st, as we're going to go out and have fun and have fellowship. One a man that got saved said this: the most thing that I missed about my old friends is the fellowship. We don't want men to miss that. We want them to have fun here at church. We want them to grow here at church. We want them to have other friends that they can relate to, that they can grow spiritually. And we're going to make that happen through our men's camp out, through our softball games, through our leadership barbecues that we'll have in March, and then one in August. And that's the opportunity that we're going to have as men to get together, to encourage each other, and to eat. That's what we're going to do. We got great cooks here, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to eat, and we're going to have fellowship, and we're going to grow in the Lord and encourage more men to come and have fellowship with us as well. Another area that I'm privileged to work with is the bus ministry. And like your brochure and like Pastor was saying, we want to upgrade our fleet of transportations. And, right. And we're going to have vans, and we're going to have them full of kids and full of families that wants to come. But we cannot bring them if we don't have vehicles that are ready to bring them. So that one of the things that we're praying for this year is to upgrade those buses and have vans and have... Also, every week we're gonna have a meeting with the bus workers to encourage them, to equip them, to help them reach what God wants them to do with the families and kids around our cities. And that's what we're going to do every Sunday night. We're going to meet with the bus workers, and we're going to see how everything went, if they need anything, and encourage them and equip them to reach their potential. And we have rooms, we have teachers, we just need to bring more people, and that's what we want to do with our bus ministry through bus promotions, through bus campaigns, and everything is going to get together with our big days in Easter and Friend Day and Anniversary Sunday, and we're going to see people come in and get saved and see their lives transformed by the power of the word, and by we first need to bring them. So that's the opportunity that we have as a church family. If you looking for a ministry to get involved, this is a great ministry. Amen. To go out and bring people to church and so they can hear the gospel. Another privilege that I have here in our church and with Pastor's Vision is to reach the Spanish community of our city. Amen. Over 470 people live in the city of Long Beach, and over 40% of those people are Hispanics. So this church have the vision to reach multiple language ethnicities, Cambodian, Koreans, Hispanics, and in the place where we are, where our church is, over 40% of them are Spanish, and our pastor have the vision to reach those people, and we want them to come. We want to have a place where we can get together, where we can fellowship together every Sunday, every at least one Sunday a month. We get together, we eat, we encourage everybody to bring someone with them, and that's how we're trying to reach more people and tell them that there's a church that loves them. There's a church that wants to edify their lives through the word of God. And we're going to have our barbecue. We're going to have a Spanish camp as well to get together with other families. We're going to have different activities with the Spanish department and all of that, so we can see people saved. So we can see our church growing not only numerically but spiritually, and we're thankful for our church family that are here, the ones that sometimes don't understand they're here because this is their church, and that's what we are trying to do as a whole, to reach people for the Lord. And I'm thankful and privileged to work and reach Pastor's Vision in every of these ministries.
So all of that, the projects from the Greater Things, all the different programs that these men oversee, all of it for one goal, and that is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of it for one goal, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not programs for the sake of programs. It's not renovate different things inside the church so we can all feel more comfortable. No, that's not it. It's all for the point of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to go after. That's what we want to be after. And that's what I want to ask you. So as we conclude, here's what I ask you. How will you be a part this year? How will you choose to be a part this year? How will you be involved? Man, all kinds of ways you can be involved, all kinds of different ministries, all kinds of different programs, all kinds of different opportunities for you to get behind and be a part of. But in what way and in what area will you say, you know what, I think I might be a help to the church in this capacity. I might be a help to the church in that capacity. I can be a part of this. I can be a part of that. And let's make the commitment. Let's have the resolve to say, I want to be a part. I don't want to just come and sit and soak and sour. But I want to come and serve. I want to be a part. I want to be a part of what's happening in reaching and winning and teaching and discipling and training. I want to be a part of giving out and whatever. All of us have different abilities. All of us have different opportunities to do that. But the word, the theme for 2018, let's go forward. Let's go forward. Let's stand together, and I'm going to have a word of prayer. And Miss Mimi will come to the piano. She'll pray. She'll